This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
ADD listeners, here's the scoop. This week's podcast ended up being a little more difficult to edit than I was anticipating. So instead of missing a week putting up a podcast, I thought I'd put together some artifacts, some relics, if you will, from last week's Indiana Jones episode. Some unheard of archival footage. Some factoids we discussed about the making of the original Indiana Jones trilogy of movies. So just sit back, listen to me, Mike, listen to Tony, listen to Josh, as we discuss some hidden truths, some nuggets of wisdom about Indiana Jones. So here it is, episode number 3. Some did you know about Indiana Jones? I took some time. I got online. Sounds like the start of a Green Day song, doesn't it?
When you say it like this, yes, it sounds just like Green Day.
Right?
Billy Joel would be proud.
He should be proud. American guy sings Billy like Joel. He's English.
Not Joel.
English guys
okay, thank you.
Sing like they're American. I looked up some facts about the Indiana Jones movies. I want to throw at you.
Some factoids.
Factoids. Okay, trivia. And this is probably the most well-known factoid. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Harrison Ford, Indy, is squaring off with the big brutish man with the swords, and they got the swords, flinging it this way and that way and twirling it and stuff like some majorette, and Harrison Ford just pulls his gun out and shoots him. That scene was actually written where he was supposed to have to do a fight with him. But the entire crew, cast and crew, at some point, with the exception of Steven Spielberg somehow, came down with various grades of disease over in Tunisia where they were filming this. Be it cholera or this just the trots, as it were.
The trots.
The trots. The trot.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't feeling very well. So he turns to Spielberg and says, how about I just shoot the guy?
Why would you get into a fight with a guy with a sword?
And that's what they did. And you know what? That's one of the most memorable moments because you see the guy doing all of his pomp and circumstance with his sword to intimidate. And he just pulls out his revolver, puts one in his chest, puts it back in his holster, leaves the lady.
That's the only scene of that movie I've ever seen.
Well, having seen that movie this morning, having seen this morning, that was completely fresh in my head, and that is one of the most iconic scenes for me from that movie that I remember.
And it was like,
but it happened so fast.
Before he said action, that's when they decided to do that because Harrison Ford wasn't filling up to it. And really, one of his second best decisions as an actor. Okay, here's one for you. Spielberg and Melissa Matheson, who was one of the gals behind the scenes on Raiders of the Lost Ark, they wrote a script during shooting breaks for Raiders of the Lost Ark. This script they wrote together later became one of, I'm going to say, the most iconic, and I've said iconic twice now, one of the best remembered and most beloved films from the 80s to this date, short of Goonies, which you know nothing about, sir.
I know a few things.
Ridiculous.
Are you talking about E.T., maybe?
I'm talking about E.T.
All right.
It was written during the filming of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wow.
Right? Amblin Entertainment, the company that released it, still their logo, I believe.
Yeah.
Kid riding a bicycle in front of the moon with this little critter in his basket because kids had baskets on their bikes back in the 80s.
No, they didn't. I never did.
Ever. No, I'm sure your bicycle didn't have many baskets on it in the 80s. I thought that was interesting, though, that you know what? Never quit working. Even when you're working, don't quit working. Here's another one, though. Okay, here's a list of actors considered for the role of Indiana Jones. This probably blow some of your hair back. I mean, Josh's is already pulled back, but Tony, this may ruffle your beard.
It's all right. I'll put it down. So.
Okay. Nick Nolte.
No idea.
You know,
have you seen 48 Hours?
48 Hours. Nope. With Eddie Murphy?
You are so young.
I know who Eddie Murphy is.
Yeah, because of Dr. Doolittle.
Not
Axel Foley.
He did little in that movie.
Yeah, Raven Simone did more. That's so Raven.
Know somebody because of Dr.
Steve Martin.
That.
That would be a whole different movie. It wouldn't even be an action movie anymore. It would be a comedy. And I'm glad they didn't go with him.
Not a knock against Steve Martin.
No.
The Jerk was fantastic.
No, not at all.
He was born a poor black man.
Oh, the Jerk. You mean I'm going to stay like this?
You mean
I'm going to stay this color?
The Jerk and The Toy. You couldn't make those movies today.
No.
You couldn't.
Well, Mel Brooks said the same thing about Blazing Saddles. He said it just wouldn't happen.
No.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Never seen Blazing Saddles.
Let's see here. Bill Murray,
I mentioned,
who couldn't be in it because of scheduling conflicts with Saturday Night Live. A network television show is what stopped us from having
Peter Venkman.
Peter Venkman.
Dr. Peter Venkman.
As Dr.
Tomb Raider.
Indiana Jones.
Thank you, Lorne Michaels.
Chevy Chase, also an SNL veteran.
Why? Were they just scouting SNL or something?
I don't know. I think
Steve Martin was on there a lot, too.
Just get all the hosts from SNL. Get them down here.
John Lovitz.
No.
Oh, God. He would be good in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
That would have never worked.
It wouldn't have, but it would be fun.
He's looked like he's like a 60-year-old man his entire life. There's no way that would have worked.
He's nuts. He would have just gone crazy with that movie.
The Dude himself.
Really?
Yes. Jeff Bridges.
No, I can see that. I can see that.
Back then, yes, because he was a dramatic actor back then.
I love Jeff Bridges.
Today, now he just plays the exact same guy.
It's just like Liam Neeson.
Now, yes.
Is he a character?
No.
Is he one?
Okay. No. Now, Jeff Bridges is pretty much Lebowski in every movie he's in.
Except when he played Rooster Cogburn.
No, that was Lebowski if he had been around in the 1800s.
And much older Lebowski.
Mm. He's an older man. Why are they trying to make him look young? Like this new movie he's in. What is this garbage? Seventh Son? He's kind of a mythical, shaman kind of thing. And it's like, why do you have the long white hair and the long white beard? Okay? Dude, even when he was in the movie with the penguins, Surfing Penguins, Surf's Up, still the dude in that. Anyway, he's come a long way since Starman. That's a lot. Which my brain is telling me was the gal from the first Indiana Jones movie, Krista Allen.
All comes around. I think
it does. Hollywood is just one big cesspool of the same actors and actresses.
It's like a British monarch family from the
Sam
1600s.
Neill.
Sam
Neill was considered
Jurassic
as
Park,
Indiana Jones.
Event Horizon. That would have worked.
I would have taken that.
Yeah, I would take that.
100%. What did his hat look like in Jurassic Park?
It looked
I'm just saying.
Well,
who put out Jurassic Park?
Steven Spielberg.
Thank you, sirs. Okay.
Okay.
It was a nod to his consideration in the role, I think, you know. And I would take that. I would take that.
Yeah.
Acceptable. When he says to Marion, the love interest in Raiders of the Lost Ark, he says the line, "It's not the years, honey, it's the mileage." She's talking about him and his age and not really being much of a lover. He says, "It's not the years, honey, it's the mileage." Completely ad-libbed.
He ad-libs a lot.
That's a good line. If a writer would have put that in, he'd have been writing the next one. Never mind.
No one wrote the next one.
Yeah, well, Steven did, I'm sure. Steven George, the George and Steve show. Okay, I'm going to do a plug real quick for the White Dragon Podcast Network.com webpage. It's basically your one-stop shop for all the podcasts on White Dragon Podcast Network. Everything from Disney to zombies to the nonsense that I'm putting out, you can find it there. If you want a podcast about how to groom your dog, they got one of those too. You want to know about playing some video games, you want to know about, you know, getting in the ring and doing some wrestling, they got that covered as well. So please check out WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com. And while you're there, check out the Amazon link for Amazon shopping. Just click the link and do your purchases. White Dragon Podcast Network gets a little chunk of that change to help keep the website up and running and help recruit some new talent for upcoming podcasts. So check us out there at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com. Temple of Doom, some interesting things. The Rope Bridge. If you've ever seen it, you've seen The Rope Bridge. Filmed on three different continents. That whole... It took 8 months. That whole scene. But when the rope bridge is strung between the two cliffs, that is a real rope bridge created for the movie that Steven Spielberg never once set foot on because he was terrified of heights. Harrison Ford, on the other hand, ran back and forth like it was nothing. It was 200 feet plus off the ground underneath it. So, attaboy Han Solo.
So he's a real action hero. Yes. He deserves to be.
Yes.
Did he have a stunt
double in the Expendables 3?
He had three stunt doubles in the first movie. I don't remember the second one. But well, he's also
no Jackie Chan.
They covered it in sand.
Ooh.
For the final scene when it gets cut and it falls. So when it fell, the sand hung in the air for a split second. Which, think about it. Why do it in post when we can make it practical? And just cover it in sand.
If it works, go for it.
And it did work.
Huh.
The sound effects of the mine car as it's, you know, traveling on the rails, obviously, instead of trying to generate their own, they just went to Disneyland. Yeah, they went to Disneyland and got on the roller coasters, put a microphone down there, and it's like, well, the same thing, you know.
It's the exact same thing.
Once again, Disney already weaseling their way in to this George Lucas world. And at the very beginning, the opening scene of the sound of the sequence when the opening scene of the plane at the very beginning of the movie is this, and the engine goes out on it. It's the same failing engine sound used when Han Solo's Millennium Falcon refuses to crank up in Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. George Lucas was very spendthrift. And if he had an effect he could use from previous film, he did.
Well, and I've heard
the
this...
The bar they met at, I believe, in this movie was called Obi-Wan's.
In what movie?
In the second one, Temple of Doom.
They met at a...
Nightclub.
At a nightclub called Obi-Wan's?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, I've heard this about their sound in Star Wars... That they used a lot of animal sounds to do, like the Wookiee and such, mm-hmm. and a lot of the sound effects from the movie were completely natural. They weren't synthetic. They were actually made using real objects, using actual animals to make the Wookiee sound. So yeah, he's very, very, you know, at least at that time in the 70s and 80s, staying true to natural sounds, not being completely digital.
What animal would they
that didn't go very far,
sound?
But
well. Anybody well, it was a Wookiee sound.
It was a lion. It was like three animals put together. They put their roars and their different sounds together.
Don't play chess with a Wookiee. That's all I know.
Never Why? Play chess with a
Wookiee. Never win.
Because you'll be picking it up off the floor.
Now, to bring this back to Ghostbusters.
Oh, God.
Are you the gatekeeper?
When Indian Short Round and the gal, Willie... Whatever reason, my name is Willie. They're at the airfield.
Stage name.
They're being chased. The American officer that gets them out of the car and takes them to the plane, Daniel Aykroyd. Just a brief cameo. You never see his face, but the voice.
I could tell by the voice. I saw that part. Yes, last night, and I just
Ted Kaczynski himself.
This is on which one?
Temple of Doom. I just knew that was him, but you couldn't even see his face.
No.
The way he was walking, he was guiding them somewhere, so he kept looking back. And as he's walking the whole time, I thought that sounds like that his voice
sounds like
on
that guy from Blues Brothers.
No,
Ghostbusters.
Nope, Chris Farley.
That Ted Kaczynski. No, wait, that's the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Same thing. The car parts guy, Kaczynski.
The King Kaczynski or whatever. He was
American auto parts for the hardworking American guy.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of, was that voice right there.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought...
From Oop there.
Is he really? Well, you would assume.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. All right. Moving on, because time's getting short. Got to cut most of this stuff out. Last Crusade. This I thought it was interesting. When Indy picks up the Grail at the end of the... toward the end of the movie, and he says... this looks like a carpenter's cup, because the Holy Grail is the cup that Jesus drank from. So it would make sense that it would be a more humble-looking piece of
artifact.
Well,
he probably made it himself, so it's probably wood.
He dabbled.
He dabbled.
He said that, obviously, as a nod to the fact that Jesus was a carpenter's son and may have learned a little bit of woodworking himself. But here's an interesting side note to that. Harrison Ford, when he was a struggling actor... learned carpentry from a book that he had checked out from the library and started doing odd jobs to earn a living. He had at one time worked on George Lucas's house as a carpenter.
Huh. All comes around again.
Right?
Wow.
Right? Cyclical. And again, Steven Spielberg, a lot like myself, always thought of Sean Connery to play Indiana Jones's father. And as an inside joke, they always wanted to say that James Bond was the father of Indiana Jones. I accept that. Works perfectly for me.
Really?
In the Zeppelin scene, when all that's going on inside the dirigible, Josh,
a rigid Sean Connery, airship.
Harrison Ford didn't wear breeches.
Huh. Yep. Why?
It was very hot in the studio. There's a lot going on, and they didn't want to sweat.
Do what you gotta do.
They didn't wear pants. They shot around the fact they weren't wearing pants.
That's the craft.
That is the craft.
Movie magic.
Movie magic.
That's right.
Bollywood.
When Sean Connery's character, Dr. Jones Sr., I mentioned is scaring those seagulls up off the beach. They were pigeons. Because you can't train a seagull. They're too feral. So, there's a lot of pigeons there he spoofs up, and no one notices, because you see white birds on a beach, all you think of is, okay, those are seagulls.
Seagull, yeah.
Except for the ones that didn't take off, because those were just cardboard cutouts, which everybody is giving, Clint Eastwood crap for using a fake baby. I'm thinking that's just a nod back to The Last Crusade.
No, it's not.
That's all that is.
No,
that's
it's not.
That's an homage.
It was
the Steven George show.
It was the first kid got sick. The second kid was a no-show, and they had to film that day. So find a plastic baby for me.
And someone said, well, you know,
seen any Clint Eastwood movies.
American Sniper.
Gran Torino.
I said, you know what? In The Last Crusade.
Then you have seen.
Okay, I didn't know.
Did you see Million Dollar Baby?
No.
Well, she wasn't.
Did you see Gran Torino?
Half of it.
Then you've seen half of it.
I watch a lot of half movies.
Yes, you do. And finally here,
all right, I'll leave it out.
This is the one that this is the fact that troubled me most of all, because it's a non-fact that I accepted as fact when I was watching a behind the scenes making of from The Last Crusade, and I spread this around like wildfire. This has really happened, because actors were awesome back in the 80s. The behind the scenes kept showing his hat flying off of him during a horse, I don't want to say race, but he's riding horseback being pursued by the Nazis, which doesn't really narrow it down, because it happens in virtually every Indiana Jones movie, except the second one, when it was all about the
India.
India. And his hat keeps falling off because of the wind, obviously. And Indy hardly ever loses his hat, which is an homage to movies from the 30s, where the lead actor, the gentleman, always had his hat on and just never lost it. So his hat really only comes off his... he loses it only twice in all three of the movies. Because, again, we don't count Crystal Skulls as a movie.
He's about to get crushed.
Yes, he has to reach back and grab it. So the behind the scenes shows him stapling his hat with a stapler to his head so it doesn't fall off. And I spread that like it was fact. But no. That was his joke to the behind-the-scenes crew, and it made it into the movie. He never stapled his hat to his head. They just used, glue and tape and stuff like that so it wouldn't fall off. I feel misled, because the behind-the-scenes is like, here's the truth to the fiction you've been watching for 120 minutes.
Do you feel betrayed by Hollywood? Like they lied to you about something?
I do.
That maybe something you saw on the screen was not exactly how it was?
Are you
going to
tell me that robots from another planet don't live on this Earth?
Well, they do, but Michael Bay's never been in touch with them. Michael Bay's never been in touch with them, but they do exist.
When Michael Bay finds them, whole nother movie.
Michael Bay had his hands in the making of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Don't tell me that.
Loosely, but he's affiliated with it, with making of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then he's like, you know what? I like this pretty well. I'm going to go make my own movies. And from that point on, he has ruined Hollywood.
Okay.
I mean, did you see Pearl Harbor? He has ruined Hollywood ever since. Who has sex in a parachute hangar? They don't hang parachutes like that. It looked like a jellyfish field from Finding Nemo.
I didn't know he made Pearl Harbor.
It has his name literally written all over it.
Well, I didn't realize it.
The explosions.
You expect me to pay attention
people,
to everything
lots of
on
tans.
Pearl Harbor.
Well, it was basically supposed to be like, here's something nasty that happened in American history. Come spend money and watch pretty people do stuff.
I learned about it.
Watch pretty people act it out.
Yes.
Let's throw a love story into one of the worst periods of American history.
Come watch almost the last time Josh Hartnett was relevant.
Who's that?
The faculty?
Lucky number 11.
Is he the...
Yeah, that was literally the last time.
No, yes. Sin City.
Who was he in Faculty?
Not really.
It wasn't a Josh Hartnett movie by any means.
I wouldn't call him relevant.
Really?
Yeah.
He kills the guy at the end. He kills whoever it was. He's had a part in the movie. Yeah, he was relevant.
That's like saying Ryan Reynolds is relevant in Smoking Aces.
Good point. But no, Josh Hartnett eventually is going to play the Tommy Lee Jones story because he looks like a young Tommy Lee Jones.
No, Tommy Lee Jones.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Brolin looks more like
which
a
takes
Tommy
us
Lee
right
Jones.
Back to Goonies. Booyah, because that was his older brother. That was Mikey's older brother. It was Josh Brolin.
Oh, dear goodness.
Tony.
Go
dude,
watch it. I'll watch that.
If there's any other reason, it's Men in Black 3. That's why you should watch Goonies. Don't watch Men in Black 3 because they hid Fields at the end of that.
Men in Black
Soderbergh
3.
Hid Fields at the end of that. That's a bad deal.
There's not one bad thing about Goonies. You need to go watch it.
No, there's not much bad about Men in Black 3. That was,
I liked
no,
Men
I
in Black.
That was a solid
I liked Men in Black 3. That one made me a little misty.
Right?
It made me misty.
Oh, my gosh.
I liked it.
Yes. That one makes you forget the second one. Because like any good trilogy,
it
the
was
second
horrible.
One is garbage.
The second was bad.
Even if you put Lara Flynn's boils all over it, nobody wants to see. You couldn't save that with Johnny Knoxville and a talking pug. No. No and no.
What do you mean Johnny Knoxville? Johnny Knoxville.
Okay.
He was in the second one.
He played an alien.
The two-headed guy. Yeah, he was a two-headed alien. He had a little tiny...
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Oh. Horrible. Bad movie.
Yeah.
The third one redeemed it.
Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. I sure enjoyed, you know, doing that research. There's a whole lot of stuff out there. All this obviously came off the internet because I'm not that exclusive with Steven Spielberg or George Lucas. So I'm going to get out of here, but before I go, I want to tell you, please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theADD podcast, and give us some feedback, like us. Let us know what you thought of the show. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just do a quick search for Actively Distracted Dialogue. I know it's a lot to type out. You ought to try saying it every week. So I guess that wraps us up. I just want to say chupacabras, everybody.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.